We're holding today in the continuation of the Mishnah in Ohalot. We were in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beit. We finished, it's a rather complex Mishnah. We finished one version of the Mishnah Beit, but we wanted to go back and look at just one point in that Mishnah. Because remember the way that we had learned the Mishnah was the way the Rav was learning the Mishnah. Most of the Rishonim learned that Mishnah, except for the Rambam. And the Gra takes the Rambam's approach. Now, the way we learned the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is talking about the Shipu'ei Ohalim that are coming down from the top, and they come up on top to the size of an etzba. And we were not sure, bichlal, what kola adka etzba, which was the same lashon that we found by the Tevat Noach, Elamatichalena. Over there, it's Elamatichalena milamala, which is what gives us the indication that's what we're talking about over here as well. And but we did not understand really what difference it makes, this shear of an etzba. The other approach is that when it says the chola at etzba, it's talking about on the bottom, so that the tent was nicely spread gradually, but then there was like a little piece that was sort of hanging loose. And that piece that was hanging loose, that was a tefach, and not a, an etzba, and not a tefach. So now the question was, in the Mishnah, whether something that's beneath an area of an ohel, where the whole ohel comes down at a proper diagonal, so that it's all within an ohel, which certainly has a tefach, it's big, big tent. Can we include something that is within a tefach of the ground, since it itself is not an ohel? So according to this approach, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if the tumah is tachat hashipua, then nonetheless it affects the entire ohel, because we see that area of the etzba as being bottle to the room as a whole. The same thing would be true if the kelim are underneath that lower part of the tent that is within the ground, with of an etzba of the ground, not a tefach of the ground, it still is going to be metame the kelim. So, okay, that's another approach to the Mishnah, and now we can carry on. Ohalot Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. Okay, we get now to the specific issues we've discussed many times about Sof Tuma Latzeit. So, let's again imagine that we have a body in a house that has many openings, windows, doors, all the openings are closed, and there are things under the eaves of these doorways and under the window sills of these windows. The din is, everything is tame. Anything that was placed in the area of one of these openings, even though the door behind it is closed, the window behind it is closed, everything is considered to be tame. And this was because Sof Tuma Latzeit, where there is no particular definition of which is going to be the petach of Sof Tuma Latzeit, then Sof Tuma Latzeit is affecting every single possible opening of the correct size. Remember, it would have to be for a kezayit min hamet, a tefach, it would have to be for anything beyond that, including the mechalim, arba al arba. The moment that you open up one of those doors, then from that point onward, only that doorway is going to be metame, and everything else is tar, because again, if you've got one opening, then it's always easier for us to pull out the mace from the one that's open instead of taking a two-step process. So that becomes the one that's tar, everything else, the tame, everything else becomes tar. As a matter of fact, if the person makes up his mind, and he was chashav lotzio miyachabiyam, he has made up his mind, he's taking out the mace through one of the doors or one of the 4x4 windows, obachalon shu al arba, and he has not yet actually opened it. The machshava alone is now matzil all the other ptachim, because it's as if we were koveya, the one that he decided to use as the one that will be used, and from this point forward, it's the only one that's tame. Now, the question is, at what point your machshava is going to save the others from tuma? Beit Shammai says, you can't decide at one point forward after the dead body is already there, that already was mori tuma to that area. Once the tuma is there, you don't can't take it off if the mace is still in the house. Therefore, you needed to make that decision before the person died. So yachshov ad shelo yamut hamet. But if you decide to take the body out after his death, everything remains tummy. Betilel omrim, af mishamet. It doesn't matter. The point is, there's no halacha of a permanent sof tuma, let's say, and the moment that the decision is made, then that particular doorway is no longer tummy. Not retroactively, but from this point forward. Now, this is all true if the doorway or window exists, but it's closed. However, if it isn't a doorway, it's been completely blocked, then and that means even if it was once there, but there's been a landslide or you filled it up with bricks or whatever, you bricked it up or you put a bunch of stones in it, then it's not the same halacha. Hayas satum. And you decided you're going to open it up. So there Beit Shammai says, look, there, even if you had the thought before the guy dies, it's not going to help until you actually do the physical work of reopening it, take out the bricks, move out the stones. But if you don't, I mean, you don't have to take out the whole thing, but as long as you take out a 4x4 area of it, so then that can be the area that's matzil. But your commitment to do so and is not enough. Even if you did part of it, even if you have 3x3 or 3x4, it's not enough. You have to actually have created a real window. Beit Hillel says, you don't have to actually do it, but I agree that just thinking about it is not enough. You'd have to at least start the job. So kishi yatchil, the moment you start carrying away the stones or the bricks, we can assume that it will be finished. It's a sign, a clear indication that the mace will be removed through there. Everybody is made it, that if your commitment is, I'm going to open a door here that was never there before, so modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, that bepoter batchila, this is the first time you're opening the door there, that in that case, you've got to have at least an area for tochim that's actually open in order to save the other doors from tuma. Because if there was no door here, it's all very nice talking about a possible building project. When I see it, I'll believe it. Then comes along, olas perek zayin, mishnah, Arba. So now here in the fourth Mishnah, we get into a fascinating question. A dead embryo is definitely metame tumas mace. But anything which is tame, that is tum'a blu'a, so it is inside of a living organism. In this case, an embryo, even if dead, inside of a living organism's uterus, is not going to be metame. So now the question is, where we get into multiple births in which we have a problem of a stillborn, one of a twin or a triplet is a stillborn. So let's first talk about a woman who is definitely in trouble. She's got a difficult labor. We see things aren't going well. They move her from one room into another operating room or whatever in case they've got to do a cesarean. And she gives birth in that second room. Then the child was dead. So over there, the first room, we don't know whether the room is tummy, because we cannot be sure that the child was already in the birth canal and not muvla. In the second one, certainly it's tummy, but we're not 100% sure if we got out the mother from the room before there was tumas mace in the room. Rav Yehuda says, now, we're not really not sure about that in certain circumstances. The only time what we've got a problem, and maybe the child was actually in the birth canal, if she was in the first room before we got her to the operating room, that was where we were holding her up to get her to the operating room. If she walked on her own, then there's no way that that child was in the birth canal. A woman cannot move if the child is already out of the cervix, forget about it. So if she moved, then you know for a fact there's no way that she had already been metame that room. Shemisha niftach hakever. Once the cervix is open and the fetus is already out, even just ahead, there is no way that she's going to be walking on her own. You don't have to worry about it. But you should know that it depends still on one additional factor, and that is the size of the head of the fetus. Because if you're talking about a very premature birth and it's a stillborn, so in that case, if it's a nafel, so it's a miscarriage over here, there is no din that is called ptichat hakever. It will not prevent the mother from walking on her own into the next room until we find that the size of the head of this dead embryo was the size of a pika. You remember we had a pika very often back in Kalim, where the pika was that little weight that's called the whorl at the end of a spindle that we used to give it a flip and then the spindle turns. So if it's that size, she won't be able to walk. But if it's less than that size, you cannot prove just by virtue of her walking that she definitely had not yet given birth to the point that the dead embryo would be mitame the room. Okay, next Mishnah, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav. If we're talking about multiple births, so now, if let's say there's twins, the first twin was born dead and was removed from the house. Then the second twin is born alive. The second twin is Tahor, as long as you removed the dead twin immediately, because in the same way, that Tum'ah B'lu'ah is not mitame outside, Tahara B'lu'ah is not mitame inside. So this second twin was still considered to be in utero and therefore impossible to be mitame. And remember, impossible to be mitame doesn't mean impossible to be mitame from the outside. It means impossible to be mitame, period. Remember we had the case before, somebody swallows a golden ring together with tuma. The golden ring will not become tummy by touching tuma in that person's stomach if he even immediately vomits it up. There's no question about it. So in this case, because the live twin was still inside the womb at the time that the dead twin had been mitame the room, the only exposure to the dead twin was in utero, the assumption is that the live twin is tar, and there's no problem. But the other way around, if the first one was born alive and was taken out from the room, if the second one is born dead, then the one that was alive born early is tummy, because the dead twin is very, very mistaber that it was right behind the other twin, was matame either through maga or through being in the room with it for a second before we had a chance to pull it out, because a dead fetus will come slipping out of the womb without any problem at that stage. Rabbi Meir Omer? Rabbi Meir says, now. We're not considering exactly how these twins are born. Remember, you can have these twins, they can be Momo twins, in which they have both placentas that are in common, and they can also have a sac that's in common. They can be a sac that's in common, not a placenta that's in common. But once they've got a sac that's in common, then we say that the living one is tummy. Because over there, since they're in the same sac, the reasonable situation is that they were delivered immediately, one with the other, came into contact with the other. But if, as is normal, they were born in two separate sacs, then the living twin remains tahor even if it's born first, because there's enough time if you've got two completely separate twins over here and they're in separate sacs. So Rabbi Meir holds even, doesn't matter, even if the living one came first and so on, they certainly take time and we don't need to worry that one was matame the other one.